A very warm welcome to the SaaS Business Podcast, specifically for those who run dynamic businesses, are SaaS pension trustees, and have decided to take full control of their personal wealth economy. In the podcast, I share with you how you can understand the power of this high-performance combination of business, SaaS, and wealth generation to create the power, freedom, and choice in your life and creating your multi-generational legacy. I am so passionate about business and SaaS pensions that I wrote a number one Amazon bestseller on the subject, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. To find out more about how SaaS can be a game changer in your personal economy, join thousands of SaaS trustees on our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and join us at www.saasalliance.org. Now let's get on with the podcast. Well, a very warm welcome to the next episode of SaaS Business Podcast. And I'm delighted to welcome a great friend of mine and of SaaS Alliance, Louise Wrighton. Hello, Louise.
Hi, Mark. How are you today?
Very well indeed, thank you. I'm very excited about this interview because we've got a lot to get through and some exciting announcements as well, haven't we?
We certainly have.
We go back a fairly long time now, but some of our audience may not know you as well as we do. So could you give us an introduction as to, you know, your background and your corporate career?
Certainly will, Mark. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks for inviting me onto the podcast. I've got to say I'm a real podcast junkie. I love listening to podcasts. I listen to all sorts of podcasts for my business education, my property education, of course, my SaaS education as well. I learn so much from them. I love sharing my story as well. So thanks so much for having me on the podcast. My background's marketing. I'm a career marketer of almost 30 years, 30 years next year, in fact. And I spent my career actually in the healthcare and pharmaceutical industries. So I cut my teeth marketing health and beauty brands for the Boots Company here in Nottingham, which is where I settled after attending university here. Actually, I was looking to work internationally for Boots quite early in my career. I've travelled all over the world, actually, but particularly what stands out is my time spent in Central and Eastern Europe in the mid-90s, when those markets were first opening up to Western brands and Western consumerism after the fall of the Iron Curtain. So that was a fantastic time. I worked in Australia for a while, where I launched a big consumer health brand there called Nurofen, which many people will be familiar with. And then I returned to the UK, where I worked as head of brand marketing for Boots retail operations, the chain of stores. When I left Boots after 13 years there, I went into the pharmaceutical industry as a global marketer. I've been there for 15 years now. I'm predominantly working on what we call inhaled drug delivery, which is inhalers for you and me. We work with pharmaceutical companies to develop and then commercialize new inhalers for lung diseases like asthma and COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. These are really the killer diseases. You know, my own dad died from COPD far too young. It's a huge killer, and there's still a lot of work to be done. Obviously, drug delivery to the lungs is very topical right now. You know, we're at the height of COVID-19. And in fact, one of the inhalers we manufacture is looking promising in clinical trials for reducing symptoms in patients with the coronavirus. So although I'm in marketing, I can't claim to be, you know, in the lab and at the cutting edge of drug discovery and drug development. But, you know, I still feel, and I've always felt, that I was doing something worthwhile, you know, helping push forward new treatments for life-threatening conditions. And we've also done a lot of work developing generic inhalers as well to save the NHS and other health systems money, which is also really, really important. So that's my professional career, Mark, 30 years in the blink of an eye. I still work full-time in the pharmaceutical industry. I'm also a property investor and a SaaS trustee. I've got two daughters who were 14 and 12. My husband, Chris, has been a stay-at-home dad since we had the girls, because I've been lucky enough to be traveling the world and pursuing an exciting international marketing career while he's provided a stable home life for the children. So that's us.
That's absolutely amazing. And what's always fascinating, and that's why I love these conversations,
you know, across the SaaS community, there are people with so much experience. It's a real, that real smorgasbord of business and life experience. And, you know, listening to you just discussing some of those career challenges you've had and what you've embraced, you know, change seems to be a constant in your life, whether it be the fall of the Iron Curtain and seizing marketing opportunities or helping launch Nurofen. Quite amazing.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I'm just one of those people that embraces change. And I guess, you know, being in marketing, I'm an innovator. I'm just always looking for the next thing, really. So yeah.
That's a very elegant lead in into change and the next thing. So when did you first find out about SaaS or first hear some rumblings, and maybe just share with us what you did about it?
I first came across the concept of SaaS probably, I think it was late 2018. We were looking at ways to grow our property business. We've been residential landlords for many, many years. We've got a small portfolio of buy-to-let properties. And I came across the idea of using a pension to expand the portfolio and grow the business. And I guess, you know, it's a fairly common way that people get introduced to SaaS, actually. You know, there's a very natural fit with property. I think a key trigger for me, Mark, was approaching 50. I know you've had your SaaS for a number of years, but you know, we are the same age or very similar, I think, and I know you'll identify with this. And I was starting to think about how long I wanted to continue to work full time in corporate life before retiring, or maybe at least scaling down, you know, the pace of my work. I love what I do. You know, I hope that came across in the introduction. You know, I'm still doing it, but I did want to start to prepare for life after corporate life. I don't want to be working into my 60s. I just don't. You know, my goal is to retire or semi-retire, you know, sometime perhaps just after 55. And so I started to think about that and sort of set some goals around that. One of my coaches said to me, and I love the saying, goal shapers and goals changers. And I've got that written on the notice board in front of my desk because that's really meaningful for me. You know, I've now become quite fixated on that goal of financial independence by 55 so that I have a choice, so that I can slow down then if I want to, or I can carry on if I want to, but I don't have to. So yeah, that goal changed me and it shaped me and it made me willing to challenge the status quo and to go to the edge of my comfort zone and to start to think about how I could take control of my finances, my wealth, my personal economy. And I ultimately set up my SaaS as an enabler of that goal. When I was introduced to SaaS, I recognised the benefits immediately. I spent a lot of time working towards understanding it, learning about it. So that took us to probably early 2019. And, you know, I believe in serendipity. I always say many things have happened to me by being in the right place at the right time. And you and Nigel launched SaaS Alliance in April 2019, and I was lucky enough to find out about that. And I came to the launch conference in London, and I met yourself and Nigel and, you know, a lot of other SaaS trustees there. And then I started to attend the regional events, which followed quickly after that. So that was about, you know, meeting other trustees, you know, learning what I could do with SaaS in my property business and outside of that as well. So I took my time to learn. I didn't jump straight into applying for a SaaS. I probably spent about 6 months learning and evaluating. And then by mid-2019, I made my application to HMRC. My SaaS got approved quite quickly. And then, of course, the difficult part comes, which is transferring pensions into the SaaS. And, you know, that took quite a few months. You know, you have to jump through a number of hoops to be able to do that. I was transferring a large defined benefit or final salary pension scheme into my SaaS. And, you know, there's a lot of due diligence around that. And, you know, quite rightly, I had to take independent financial advice to get confirmation that that was the right decision for me. And indeed, the IFA that I worked with assessed my situation and said, you know, looked at the business plan, looked at my circumstances, looked, you know, at my family situation and said, and it's absolutely, you know, the right thing for you to do. So I'm going to give you a positive recommendation on that. And so by February this year, so only about 4 months ago, I was in possession of my fully funded SaaS. So that was kind of the journey to getting to it. We called our SaaS Ebony SaaS, and it's named after Ebony Wood, which my elder daughter came up with because it's got a spiritual meaning in paganism as a precious thing that must be looked after for future generations. And so, you know, that's what having the SaaS is all about to me. You know, there was a lot of soul searching setting up the SaaS. You know, we've heard your guests before, Mark, describe, you know, when you've got a defined benefit pension, although the benefits, if you live to a grand old age, are really great and they're guaranteed year in, year out, if you die prematurely, the pension dies with you. And I know you've got some tragic personal experience from a dear friend and colleague that's happened to. And, you know, looking at our family situation, you know, my husband's been a stay-at-home dad, so he doesn't have a lot of pension provision of his own. So, you know, the thought that I could die and half of the value of my pension could be wiped out and he'd only have half to look after himself and the children, that just wasn't acceptable to me once I found out there was an alternative. So that's some of the key reasons, really.
It certainly resonates many of the things that you said, you know, that freedom of choice. And what I also love about that was you're clearly so passionate about your career. You put 30 years of your life into career and you love it. And the SaaS sits alongside that. It's not necessarily a replacement, but for some of us, just having that freedom of choice is freedom itself. I know a good friend of mine who has a SaaS. They're a doctor and they don't want to give up being a doctor. They just love helping people. So it's about choices, right?
It's absolutely about choices. I think it's, you know, it's about, everyone talks about having a why. What's your why? You've seen me speak before. I've got a really big why, which really sits behind why I took control of my pension into a SaaS and I took control of my personal economy. And it's about my two girls and leaving a legacy to them. Now, everyone says their kids are their why, and absolutely, I get that. Everyone's kids are their why. You know, I'm no different to that. What's a little different about my situation is that my eldest daughter has special educational needs and disabilities, and I wanted to make sure that I can provide for her in the future, and the SaaS is a great way for me to do that. And, you know, I think, you know, having that really deep and meaningful why is just really important to drive you. So that's my why. You know, this is my 14-year-old daughter I'm talking about. You know, she's exceptionally bright. She's at a top selective school. She's autistic and she has a range of complex needs and disabilities and she needs a lot of support in her life. So, you know, despite her intellect and all of her gifts, we know, sadly, that autistic adults have low rates of employment. So while she may be exceptionally gifted, you know, she's very creative, you know, highly intelligent, she will do well at school, I have no doubt, she may yet struggle to find or keep employment because of the challenges of being autistic in a neurotypical world. You know, the world is very strange to her. So we hope that won't be the case. You know, we have every hope. She's getting the support that she needs through her school life and at home, you know, so that she can reach her potential. But the risk is always there that something will go wrong and she will struggle. So, you know, I needed to create peace of mind for myself to provide a safety net for her, really. So, you know, the legacy of our SaaS is for her. It's for our younger daughter as well, who's a promising footballer. She plays for Nottingham Forest Girls Academy. She's very talented and she, of course, wants to be a professional footballer. But even if she makes it, and we know it's a, you know, it's a huge stretch to make it in professional football, it could be a short-lived career, of course. And so, you know, we want to support her to follow her dreams as well. And actually, she's recently been diagnosed with ADHD. So I've got two very special and unique girls with, you know, very varied skills and talents, but also varied challenges. You know, so the SaaS legacy is for them. And, Yeah, I hope they appreciate it one day. I think that they will. You know, they are, they're aware of the SAS. You know, we've involved them in family discussions about the SAS. You know, they helped come up with the name. They designed a family logo for the SAS. And, you know, so they're already aware and being introduced to it in an appropriate way. And of course, you know, I plan to make them trustees and beneficiaries when they're 18.
I think that's absolutely wonderful, Louise. And clearly the love and passion that you and your husband put into creating that family environment of support comes across very rich and dear. And I tip my hat to you. That really is a wonderful, wonderful why. And it's driving you to do some fantastic things. And we're going to touch on some of those. Just wanted to just reflect back on the SAS. Always asked the question about, you know, what are you doing with your SAS? And how that reflects with your time, because you've clearly got a lot of things on your plate. So what's your strategy for your SAS?
Yeah, well, so far, Mark, you're absolutely right. I'm working full time. I'm obviously trying to develop a property business as well. So I have looked for hands-off investments. So far, I've invested just over half of my SAS in what's called secured third-party property development loans, which many of the listeners will be familiar with. So as my SAS was being set up and then as my pension funds were being transferred, I spent probably about 6 months, you know, working hard, networking, getting to know people, you know, developing trusted connections and researching investment opportunities, because what I didn't want to do is have this pot of money sitting there, you know, starting to be eroded by inflation, really. So, I mean, in a nutshell, what I've done is I've invested with a couple of the well-known property crowdfunding platforms. I think they offer a great option for SAS trustees to invest, you know, safely and get great returns. I'm not giving financial advice. Of course, I'm not qualified to. This is my opinion from my research. It's what I've done with my funds. But, you know, I do like the way that the platforms do a good level of due diligence. You know, they present a well-secured, an attractive package to invest in. Of course, as an investor, you need to do your own due diligence, but I think, you know, some of the platforms do go a long way and, you know, are quite selective. So I think there's a good level of quality control there, which is probably, you know, the first hurdle. So I've invested with a couple of the property crowdfunding platforms, and I've also invested in third-party secured development loans through a couple of individual developers as well, who've got, you know, great track records, and I've got to know, like and trust the principals of those companies and spend some time with them as well. So I would say I've made hands-off investments so far. I mean, it's not entirely hands-off. There is obviously work, there's, you know, networking, there's research, there's due diligence. But once the investment is made, it is a, okay, job done. The money's in there for 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, however long the project is running. So that's what I've done. I've diversified. I've invested across platforms, developers, project types, and geographical areas of the UK as well in order to mitigate my risk. So that's what I've done so far. You know, my investments at the moment need to be, you know, hands off, really.
Well, certainly due diligence comes across loud and clear. And I guess over the years that we've known each other, I've had the privilege of seeing some of your research and marketing papers from the pharmaceutical industry. So your background is steeped in that. And I guess that leads us on to, you know, writing papers. And you're clearly extremely eloquent and professional in your writing. And maybe that's led you to wanting to write a little bit more, maybe, shall we say?
I think that's true, absolutely, Mark. Yes, we have just completed a joint venture, haven't we? A new book called SAS Superstars.
We have. So tell us all about this, Louise.
Absolutely. So, you know, as I've talked quite a lot about networking, you know, I've got a star wealth dynamic. For anyone that doesn't know what wealth dynamics are, you know, look up Roger Hamilton's wealth dynamics. And, you know, I've got a profile, which means that I want to talk to people, connect with people, network with people, and learn from people. I mean, I'm pretty good at, you know, sitting at my desk and researching as well. I love to read. I like to research. But I also like to talk to people and learn from what people are doing in real time. So, you know, as I was researching the idea of a SaaS for me and starting to go through the process of setting up my SaaS, I obviously read your book. We got to know each other. I read your book, SaaS Pensions, which you published in 2019. And it struck me that while your book's clearly, you know, an exceptional technical manual around SaaS, and you've also put some great examples in there of what you've done with your SaaS and what can be achieved with a SaaS. As I talked to people, I sensed the community wanted more. They were hungry for case studies. So, you know, people are forever posting in SaaS Alliance, I'm a new SaaS trustee, what has everyone done with their SaaS? And, you know, people are hungry for real stories about what real trustees have done with their SaaSes. So I thought, well, I'm out there networking, I'm learning from SaaS trustees. Why don't I, instead of keeping these conversations to myself, why not turn them into a book that can help the whole community and not just me? So we had a chat and I asked you to co-produce the book with me, Mark, and I'm pleased to say it's a true joint venture and we're launching it now in July 2020.
Exactly, yeah. So available now on Amazon. We're hugely excited by that, aren't we? It's been, writing a book, as we both know now, it's easy if you say it quick, but the joy of that end product is something to behold, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, this has been about a year in the making. You know, I thought I could rattle it off in a couple of months, but that's my dynamo energy, my creative energy, just thinking, oh yeah, this is a piece of cake. I'll just do some interviews and you know, bash out a book. And of course, it's not that easy. You've got to fit it in with everything else that you're doing. And you will understand that, I think, more than most people, Mark. So yeah, it's been about a year in the making. It's very satisfying to have it, you know, finished and out there. And I've also, you know, just been really, really buoyed really by the, you know, by the reaction we've had to it so far. So, you know, we invited a number of key opinion leaders really in the SaaS space, in the property space, in the sort of wealth building space, to take a sneak peek when it was about half finished and to write us some reviews. And, you know, we got some fantastic feedback and some great reviews back that this was something that was really needed. You know, this book has never been written before. It's the story of 10, you know, real life SaaS trustees. We find out, you know, all about their, you know, their life, their business, their strategies, how they found SaaS, what it means to them, what they're doing with their SaaS, what they've learned. You know, each chapter has what I call 5 superstar tips, you know, so they're 5 top tips for other SaaS trustees. They all share warts and all, you know, there's some, you know, there's tragedy, you know, in there as well as triumph. This is not 10 glossy sort of social media-esque stories. These are 10 real people, you know, mature people that have had a lot of life experience and business experience, things going wrong as well as things going right. And they've all just so generously, you know, shared their stories and allowed us to learn from them. So, you know, I thank every one of them. They've all given me, you know, so much time. I interviewed all of them. Well, I always said, I need an hour to interview you. And generally it turned into 2 hours and then it turned into follow-up calls. And then, you know, we developed the material together. So, you know, they're all very busy people running businesses with families, running SaaS trusts. And, you know, they've all given so willingly of their time because they know it's to help the SaaS community, it's to help the new people coming through. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's to share the highs and the lows so people can learn from that. So I've had some new SaaS trustees, you know, that I know read this book as well. And they said, this is exactly what we need. You know, we need to learn from the people that are a few steps ahead. So this is fantastic. I had a review from Chris Henry, who was one of your guests a few weeks ago, Mark, and he said, Louise, this is what Tracy and I needed 5 years ago when we were just starting. You know, I can't tell you how useful this would have been to us. So I think, you know, as you know, within the SaaS Alliance, with the great work you and Nigel are doing, and I hope I add to that as well, I think, you know, we are creating that content and that educational material for people to learn from. And crucially, it's not just theoretical, it's real experience from real people that are doing it. And I think that's so valuable. So yeah, I'm excited that we're launching the book now, and it's on Amazon. And, you know, I'd love people to get a copy and to read it and to let us know what they think.
Absolutely. You mentioned the theory then. The theory is one thing, but, you know, the actual traction is when the rubber meets the road. And the way you've been able to draw out of 10 wonderful people, draw out their experiences, they gave their time and their experiences up freely in these discussions, and you've been able to channel that into, you know, 10 wonderful, wonderful chapters. And there's so much learning there that is relevant to every one of us. And as you say, it's not the white swan gliding across the water gracefully. It's the nitty-gritty of what it really takes in under real life circumstances. And there is generally something in that for everybody, whether you have a SaaS or whether you don't. There's so much learning there.
There is. I think, you know, if you're considering a SaaS, then read it. You know, you'll see it, warts and all, you know, what it takes to be a SaaS trustee. You know, it does take time to become confident and capable. You know, I call myself a newbie. I've been on this journey for about sort of a year, 18 months, but I've only been in control of my SaaS for, you know, for a few months. And so, you know, I always say, I wrote this book for me. I think I wrote that in the introduction, actually. I wrote this book for me, but I hope it helps you too. You know, I needed to talk to these people. I needed to write this book as part of my learning. And my learning style is I will write and journal, and that's how I absorb and process. So, you know, selfishly, it's helped me hugely. But as I say, I'm just so happy that other people are getting value from it. And it sits very, very nicely as a companion book to your first book, Mark, SaaS Pensions. And in fact, you know, we've worked with the same book designers, et cetera, so that they look like sort of yin and yang on the bookshelf, really. They are sister books, if you like, companion books. So I think if anyone's completely new to this, it'd be great if they picked up both. They'll see the theory and then they'll see what real people do with this in practice. And I hope everyone finds it valuable.
And well, I know they will. The passion that you put into that book, I've seen that at first hand, the minute attention to detail, you know, that sits right within you, that creation of shared value. So, Louise, just remind us the name of the book and where they can get hold of it.
Absolutely. It's called SaaS Superstars, How 10 Entrepreneurs Unlocked Their Pensions Without Waiting to Retire. So SaaS Superstars is all you need to remember. The authors are me and you, Louise Wrighton and Mark Stokes. We're out on Amazon with Kindle and paperback versions. And we can maybe post the link to that in the show notes. And certainly we're promoting that through the SaaS Alliance Facebook group as well, Mark. So it's an easy read, you know. I know we're not getting many holidays this year because of COVID-19 and lockdown. But if people take a bit of downtime over the summer, then I think it's probably quite an easy reading, sort of sit in the back garden and you know, read these life stories. So yeah, hopefully it's well timed as well for the summer.
Brilliant. Louise, I absolutely love this interview, this episode. You know, I think so many people are going to get so much inspiration from it. If people do want to get in contact with you, what would be the best way?
Yeah, I'm in social media, so Facebook and LinkedIn. I'd be happy to connect with people there. I'm also very happy to be contacted by email. So I'm louise.wrighton@gmail.com. Very easy to remember. I would love to get feedback on the book if anyone reads it. I'm sure some people will as a result of hearing about it today. But also, you know, I'm keen to understand what needs to come next for the community. So if people read it and then say, actually, it would be really good to hear about this kind of trustee or this kind of strategy, or, you know, I want to know more about whatever it might be, then I'd love to receive suggestions as well by email from potential trustees or existing trustees as well. So hopefully this will be the first of several books. I've enjoyed writing it, and I'm more than happy to receive ideas from the community, Mark, for what comes next.
Brilliant. Love it. Well, Louise, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure you're going to be inundated, as indeed will Amazon, for the great book. So it's been a pleasure. Louise Wrighton, thank you.
Thank you, Mark, and I'll catch up with you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you inspired and want to know more? Well, join our Facebook group, SaaS Alliance, and check out my number one Amazon best-selling book, SaaS Pensions, Creating Extraordinary Levels of Compounding Wealth. You can also check out SaaS Alliance website at www.saasalliance.org. Until next time, thank you for listening.